Is this Barstool?
BarstoolSports.com. Is that right? BarstoolSports.com.
It's your boy KFC.
Become kind of a craze. Become kind of a craze.
Your boy Big Cat.
Kind of a craze. Kind of a craze.
And your boy Feidelberg.
So go to BarstoolSports.com if you do. God bless you.
You listen to KFC Radio.
Oral and the maximum security plastic razor fortresses in the shave aisle at the store. They make you stand there like a convict, waiting for the guard to come over and unlock the razor prison. It's like you're a criminal just because you need a pack of razor blades. If you try to open the razor case yourself, a security guard will pop out and taser you. Ditch the hassle. Do it the smarter way. Get your razors from DollarShaveClub.com. For just a couple bucks, DollarShaveClub.com delivers amazing razors right to your doorstep. Their blades are fantastic, and since they arrive like clockwork, you can shave with a fresh blade every week. Nothing feels better than that. Stop being treated like a criminal just because you need a pack of razors. I got my latest package sent to me. I got my razors here. I got some shave butter, which is obviously better than shaving cream. Everyone knows that. Brand new handle for $6. $6, that's always going to get delivered to me every single month. You can't beat that. So over a million other people have gone to DollarShaveClub.com for their razors. I'm one of them. So try DollarShaveClub.com/KFC today. That's DollarShaveClub.com/KFC. Have you mutts gotten your razors yet or what? You still shaving like a bunch of bums going to CVS?
I haven't shaved in quite a while, actually.
Yeah, I was going to say, Fights, can you really be a part of the shaving club yet? Or
No, I wouldn't say so. I basically like never buy razors. I just always buy a new, I guess that's called a razor. Yeah, it's just because like I never need a razor regularly, really. I just need to shave like, oh shit, I'm at Kevin's wedding and I didn't bring a razor, so I'll just buy another one. And then I use like the one it comes with for like 3 months, and then I get another one.
I bet you would still save money doing DollarShaveClub.com simply because every time you buy the handle, it's like $15.
But they're like $9 for the razors themselves.
No, not with Dollar Shave Club, bro. It's $6. I get four. I get all the other shit a part of it.
Well, you know what happened?
Tell your fucking boys to send me some free shit. I'm sick of it.
All right, fine. I will talk to my people. They will send you a package. The rest of you got to go buy it. I think there's packages for like $3. I got fancy, and I went up to $6. But the rest of y'all can do the $3 ones.
It is a good point, though. It always does infuriate me when it's locked. Why is it locked?
It's like the...
Is there a big black market for razors?
And they don't want anybody looting. They don't want anybody looting those razors, bro. When you pop that thing open and it goes... Boop, 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 boop. What the fuck is that?
At the CVS by my apartment, I need to hit a buzzer to, like, ring someone to come over. It's the fucking... They only have to do that with razors and then with, like, their Bose or Beats headphone section.
Or like, Robitussin or whatever the fuck the kids get high on.
Well, you got to get that behind the counter, no?
Yeah, because you can fucking make meth of that these days.
Meth, yeah.
I remember back in the day when that you could just buy it and people used to robo-trip. And you heard that? Yeah.
I had one of my buddies in high school didn't drink, and he was like always like real high and mighty about it. He's like, oh yeah, I don't drink, I'm an athlete, blah blah blah. But he would just robo trip his balls off at every party. I was like, dude, that doesn't count. That's not like you're not sober. You're just fucking drinking weird shit rather than the normal poison.
My favorite thing I ever saw was freshman year of college. My buddy drank a bottle of NyQuil and just puked up that solid blue NyQuil color. Like, it was just a projectile fountain of it. It was incredible. I loved every second of that.
Isn't that what's in Lil Wayne's purple drink or whatever he drinks?
Yeah.
I think he has, like, the, like, doctor-prescribed kind.
Codeine.
Like, you know how, like, if you go, like, they won't give you painkillers at the hospital, but they'll give you, like, really high Tylenol that you can't buy? I think that it's codeine, right? I think that's, like, the main ingredient in Robitussin, but you can only get it from a doctor.
We should do a drank episode where we make some of those.
I mean,
Bites was pushing for that a long time ago. We just get all sorts of fucked up on all sorts of substances.
I think we should do a purple drink one where like he puts like Jolly Ranchers and shit in it too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you gotta use a styrofoam cup too. I don't know why, but you do.
All right, it's Thanksgiving here at KFC Radio. We got a bunch of Thanksgiving questions to get to. A lot of family voicemails, like family interaction voicemails that we'll jump into. First, I want to start with something a little more topical. I got an email today pretty ridiculous question, but I feel like kind of has some merit. Hang on 1 second. Where is it? Fuck. I can't find the email, but I remember the question. Would you rather be a police officer in the Ferguson riots last night or shoveling all the snow out of Buffalo? Obviously, a much more dangerous situation in Ferguson. But I'm going to say this. I don't know if it was as violent and as crazy as I thought it was going to be. So, like the worst riot ever versus shoveling the worst snowstorm of all time. And shoveling truly is the worst thing that a human can endure.
Yeah, I think I'd have to go with the Ferguson cop because, like, worst case scenario is you die. But at least it's exciting up until that point. Like, shoveling is the most monotonous, boring, hard. It's so fucking hard to shovel.
More.
It's impossible. It's like, the worst part of shoveling is how you're always taking your jacket on and off because you get hot and then you're like, fuck it, I can't, you know, it's too hot for this jacket. You take your jacket off and then you're freezing cold again and you got to keep switching. And just that constant switching is maybe worse than dying.
I would rather take tear gas to the face than deal with the jacket on and off. And then,
I don't even think the Ferguson police officers have a risk of death. They're all like the SWAT team has their helmets on and everything. The worst case scenario for a Ferguson police officer is you shoot a black kid without a gun and then your like life gets ruined for a couple months and then you walk free. That's the worst case scenario.
Yeah, I mean,
that's the worst case scenario. maybe you get like a little scrape on your face too.
Those pictures, I know that there's more to it than just like the injuries and shit. But when they kept showing his face with the ruler, I didn't even know what the fucking ruler was there for. That guy looked totally fine. It was ridiculous.
Bro, man, I don't know if we're gonna be able to do this, but can you see my neck? I have like a real big birthmark, like a red mark.
I actually can see that.
And it's way worse than his neck. Yeah. And for some reason, that's like the most popular picture. Like, look at this red mark on his neck. Dude, my neck is way redder than that. All the time. I have a birthmark there.
He basically fell asleep in an awkward position. That was all his face was.
I couldn't tell when they released those pictures. I couldn't tell if that was the police department releasing them being like, look at the evidence, or the family being like, look at the evidence. It was nothing fucking there. It was ridiculous.
He fell asleep in like a sun chair. And, like, got a little bit of, you know when you fall asleep on those plastic chairs and you get a little bit of a mark on your face? That's what happened.
Did you see his, this isn't our thing, but like his testimony was like, it was like a comic book. It was the most ridiculous stuff where he's like, it was like I was fighting the Hulk. You're both like 6'4", 215. You're the same size. Like, what do you mean you're fighting the Hulk?
Oh, man.
That question came from John, so shout out to him. Because you know what? Anyone else would think that's a ridiculous question, but you come to KFC Radio and you get fucked up with the truth. Shoveling snow sucks, and when you're a riot cop, you have the upper hand, and if you're white, you're literally bulletproof. Physically, literally, figuratively, all of it. You're bulletproof.
Yeah. Oh, he said that too. He said he was eating the bullets like he was the fucking Hulk. Wait, what was I going to say though? Oh, as for last night, I didn't think it was that bad watching it, but then woke up, 12 buildings burned down? That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot of buildings to burn down.
The buildings were weird. Did anybody die? Was there any like major injuries?
No, there were like reports of gunshots, but I don't think anyone died.
Yeah, I mean, they just burned down that poor Little Caesars.
Yeah.
And the McDonald's. What are you going to accomplish by that? Rioting in general is the stupidest thing in the world. You're not going to get anything out of it. But knocking down the McDonald's windows is just fucking pure evil. That's un-American, man.
Yeah, it's not fair.
Shout out to that one stoolie who I retweeted with maybe the funniest tweet of the night when he was like, "Little Caesar in 2014, Little Caesar still doesn't have online delivery. Adapter get lit on fire in a riot." You deserved it. No one takes you seriously.
I didn't know Little Caesars was still a thing, really. I don't think we have those here. Like, when I was a kid, that's what you'd get for a birthday party. You get one of those huge Little Caesars pizzas, But I haven't seen one of those since I was like 8 or 9.
I know for a fact I've never had it. I don't think I've ever seen it. That might be an original thing, or I don't think I've ever even seen one.
It's definitely a Midwest thing. Chicago has a few, but like Detroit has a bunch, and Detroit has the Mac. There's always a Mac team playing in the Detroit Little Caesars Bowl, which is the best. That's like my favorite bowl of all the bowls. So, rip Little Caesars.
All right, so let's dive into some Thanksgiving shit. We'll start off, I mean, since you'll be listening to this on Wednesday, this is a appropriate voicemail.
Hey, what's up, fellas? John from Connecticut. Who's calling? So the Wednesday before Thanksgiving is usually the biggest bar day of the entire year. All your friends and everyone's out. So I was wondering, what's your guys' opinion on drinking hard the night before Thanksgiving? Is it worth it to be hungover the day of Thanksgiving and feeling like crap trying to eat food? Or is it not worth it and should lay low and enjoy the actual day of Thanksgiving? Let me know your guys' opinion.
Day before Thanksgiving, unofficial biggest drinking day of the year. Some tough guys like to call it amateur night. A lot of different varying opinions that I think pretty much correlates directly with your age, but I'll leave it up to you guys. We'll start with the young buck on the crew. Night before Thanksgiving fights, you going hard with all your high school buddies?
I mean, like, it's not a special going hard, I wouldn't say. Like, I'm trying to think of another. Like, it's not like the Sox won the World Series and, like, we're going out and it's like, let's get crazy fucked up. And, like, I mean, like, I go out, yeah, I go to a bar, but it's not it's definitely not, like, a huge, huge party night. It's just a bar night with people I don't usually go out to bars with.
Are you, this year, now that, you know, you're becoming a man and some of the, you know, you've admitted some hangovers have started to set in, they started to get a little worse. Will Thanksgiving Day play into your drinking Wednesday night?
No, because I'm on vacation.
So you're,
you don't get hangovers on vacation. They don't exist. It's not a thing.
Oh, okay.
If you're, like, you don't, you just wake up on Thanksgiving. I mean, what's lunch is at 1, people come over whenever. Like, you start drinking pretty much as soon as you wake up on Thanksgiving, so you're not going to get, you don't have a hangover.
So you're just going to be drunk the whole Wednesday to Sunday, basically.
That's it.
I don't know if I'd say Wednesday to Sunday, but I'll be drunk Wednesday night, and then I'll be drunk on Thanksgiving.
Listen, this is how it goes. And this is, I understand if this guy's younger, like, you get, like, blackout drunk. But as you get older, and this is where I'm at now, once mid-November hits, from mid-November to January, I'm basically in this, like, state of drunk and full for the entire time. I'm never, it's not like a summer drunk where you go out in the day and it's nice out and you get aggressively drunk, you know what I mean, where you're partying and you're partying hard. It's just this, like, lethargic, I'm always a little bit buzzed and I'm usually, like, eating something and really full for a month straight. And that's just how it goes.
So for November, Dan is always, like, an unexpected sneeze away from shitting his pants, is basically what he's saying.
Yeah, basically. Like, I had a few glasses of wine last night. I was just buzzed. Like, I don't even do that. I don't usually do that. Or it's like, it's cold. It's, you know, it's November. Who fucking cares? You throw, like, you wear puffy vest every day. And then you wake up in January and you're like, oh, fuck, I've gained 15 pounds. I got to get my life together.
And then you have the resolution.
It's the closest you can get to human hibernation. We don't completely go to sleep, but we just stay, like, fuzzy and drunk and kind of, like, out of it for, you know, 8 weeks.
Right. It is like, a very different drunk, though, or different situation. Because in the winter, it's, like, Guinness and whiskey, which you're not binge drinking. You're not, like, it's not shooters at the bar and lemon drops and, like, let's chug some fucking Bud Limes on the beach. It's let's have a heavy beer and a heavy liquor and just keep it a little above even.
If you're having a conversation with me in late November or December, there's like a 90% chance I'm roughly 4 beers deep every single time. That's like the zone. It's like 4 to 6 beers at all times.
That real tired.
I can function and I can do anything. Like, I'm not slurring or anything, but I'm always just, I'm there, but I'm not there kind of thing.
Keeps you warm is the thing.
Yeah.
You guys fuck with eggnog? I saw Smitty wrote that blog the other day, all excited for eggnog season.
I don't know that I've ever had it.
Yeah, the thing is, I was going to say, I'm really not sure I ever had it either, but I know I hate it. I'm not even willing to taste it. It's like it's got rum, and it seems like I'm drinking sour milk. And
just the texture, the texture and the look, that's enough to turn me off.
I'll tell you
what, I don't need to drink a thick white cream. I don't need to.
I'll tell you what's a billion trillion times better than eggnog. And I had this the other night outside at a softball game, which was the best thing in the world. Hot apple cider with whiskey. Mm-hmm. That's the drink. Yes. You can get outside with that. Oh, that's like if I could bottle that feeling where you're freezing cold but you're just drinking some hot apple cider and whiskey. That's November.
I was telling plates on Marathon Sunday. I was at Rathbones, my spot on the Upper East, and they were doing hot apple cider, Jack, and Fireball. And the owner kept coming around and just pouring them out in little shot glasses. And it got to the point where I was like, just give me a fucking mug of this, man. Just give me a big fucking hot mug of it. I'm sick of doing it in these little shots.
Exactly. So that's better than eggnog. Eggnog, I agree with you guys. Like, I don't really need to drink milk.
As for the I think the question, too, is a little geared more towards, like, the hysteria around the night before Thanksgiving. I think I'm fine. I think I'm out on that. I don't think I'll even be, like, doing the, like, go home to my local bars and see my high school friends anymore. Maybe a couple guys that I would, like, reach out to and be like, do you want to do this? But I'm not just going to, like, it's not, like, my set plan to just go there and hang out now. That's also
no, cool. I mean, I don't have – we never have a plan. Like, I don't know what bar I'm going to go to or anything like that. But, you know, I'll call some buddies I haven't seen in a while probably.
I remember I used to go to, like, a fucking club. Like, we used to get, like, tickets and, like, go to, like, the meatpacking district in Manhattan. I fucking hated myself for doing that stuff.
Oh, no. Whenever we do it, it's always, like, we go to a bar that's even more – like low key than bars I go to on a regular Friday night. Like it's like a you just belly up at the bar and you just talk and drink. It's not I don't ever party on that. I get drunk, but it's like it's more of just seeing old people really.
That's one of those things, Kevin, where you look back and you're like, dude, I didn't have any fun doing that. Like what was
it was one of those things too, like I was into it and then like as I was walking through the door, I was like, wait a minute, fuck this. This is a terrible, terrible idea. I don't know what I was thinking. Yeah, I mean, most people from my high school go to, like, a dive bar where they allow dogs in there, and there's an old, like, handyman who wears no shoes. He walks around barefoot.
This sounds like a fantastic bar.
Yeah, that's the kind of bar, if you're going to do it and you're going to meet up with high school friends, go where there's barefoot people and dogs, and it's a dive bar. That's how you do it.
It's one of those things, it's just such a polarizing thing too, because it's either like I honestly had never heard. I thought that's kind of more what people did is you go to a low-key bar and get drunk. I'd never heard of like clubbing on Big Wednesday.
It was like a douchey Manhattan thing that I did when I was like 21, you know what I mean? It was one of those fucking asshole New York things that I just had to do because that's where I'm from.
But it's either people are like, I'm so excited to see everyone, or it's I never want to see anyone from my hometown ever again. Like, well, I'm just going to see a couple of buddies, and that's that. It doesn't have to be this black and white, like, it's either the best or the worst ever. It's just like, yeah, I'm going to see some people I haven't seen in a while.
Right. This is hilarious. I don't even know if anybody will have a story that relates to this, but this is fucking funny.
What's up, KFC? It's your boy Scott from Ohio. I just had a quick question for you with Thanksgiving coming up. A couple years ago, the Thanksgiving, my family and my cousin brought her new boyfriend over. Seemed like a nice guy and everything, you know, was into the football and everything. Fast forward till, you know, right about before dinner, and I'm going to the bathroom, and I open it, he didn't lock the door, and I see him in the bathroom just cranking out push-ups, like going ham on the floor. And I'm like, dude, like, what the fuck? And she gets up and says, sorry, bro, sometimes you just have to crank out 100, walks out. I don't say a word to him the rest of the day. So I was just curious if you guys have any stories about your guys' cousins or siblings bringing home, boyfriend or girlfriend, and just weird stories that happen with them at Thanksgiving. Thanks, Jesus.
Cousin brings home a new boyfriend. Dude seems cool. Everything's fine. He walks in on him on the bathroom, and he's just busting out 100 push-ups. Straight out of, like, it's like a Mac move from Always Sunny. That is absurd. I think it would be more, you walk in on him taking a shit, you walk in on him like jerking off, that would be more normal than the new boyfriend just banging out push-ups in the bathroom at Thanksgiving.
I mean, that's what I thought, that's where I thought it was going when I heard, and he's cranking out, I figured he was going to talk and say his dick. I did not expect him to say 100 push-ups.
I would be able to relate to the masturbating more. I would be able to be like, all right, I mean, this guy was just backed up, maybe in an uncomfortable situation, needed to clear the pipes. That would seem more reasonable than he needed to bust out some push-ups in the middle of Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I don't even know. I mean, I guess just to get a nice pump before you talk to the whole family, a little, yeah, that's a crazy, crazy move.
I mean, you gotta have confidence. You gotta be on, you know, if you're meeting the family for the first time, like, you gotta be on point. If that's what gets you there, I guess that's what gets you there.
My cap, yeah. I mean, I love the confidence in, like, sorry, bro, I just gotta bang out a couple, you know, bang out 100 and just walk out. Like he's the weirdo for not doing it. You get caught in a situation that weird, you gotta just own it and be like, yeah, man, I'm doing my 100 push-ups on Thanksgiving. What, don't you do that, you fucking loser?
Exactly. I get it, I guess. I don't know. If
as far as, like, weird family stories, I mean, I think everyone has, like, the drunk uncle, the old guy.
I don't think everyone has that. That's a big problem with me. I think everyone makes up that bullshit. It's like, it was in a movie once, so now everyone has the stereotype of, like, their racist grandmother who goes off at Thanksgiving, and their drunk uncle, and their lesbian cousin, and... Yeah. All this bullshit. Maybe you got one of those. Like, my great grandmother was racist against Asian people because, like, her brother got killed in the Korean War or something like that. But she's dead, and now no one at my table is racist anymore, so I can't relate to anything.
Right. I honestly do, though, think that almost every family has an older male of some sort who passes the fuck out in a chair. I think that happens to every single family in America.
Well, yeah, I think every single male passes out in a chair.
Well, yeah, and I mean, there's usually, like, a fatter, older one who, like, gets a little drunker than everyone else and just passes out right away. That would be my version of, like, the drunk uncle. I don't think that every family in America has the guy causing a scene or, like, fall down drunk.
But everyone says they do, and that's what pisses me off.
Right, yeah. If
passing out in the chair after a bunch of tryptophan and a couple of heavy beers hits you, makes you drunk? Then I guess every single person in my family is. But, like, no one's causing that scene. It's just everyone's eating and having a few beers and falling asleep in front of the TV.
Big Cat, you got any weird family?
I would say the only thing that's weird is, like, through the years, there's always been, like, people who float in and out, and they'll be, every now and then, there'll be, like, a vegan or someone like that, and everyone will just be like, come on, man. Because that... I don't think – I agree with Feindelberg. The classic stereotypes are kind of outdated, and people don't really have that. Like, everyone's got the drunk uncle. Everyone's got this. But in 2014, everyone has come across, like, a vegan or someone with dietary restrictions, some asshole who shows up is like, oh, I can't have this gravy. So I feel like that's the new stereotype that everyone can relate to on Thanksgiving. Like, that one person – from the outside who comes, or it might even be in your family, like some someone went to college and decided they're a fucking vegan, and that, like, the mass production of animals is, like, the worst thing in the world. Those people suck.
And let me tell you something. If you're a vegan or you're something like that, don't come. Don't go to Thanksgiving dinner. It's right, like, if you're Jewish, don't come to Christmas and complain about stuff. Just you stay home and you do your own thing. You stay home and you eat your vegan food.
If you're a fat girl, Halloween's not for you. If you're Jewish, Christmas isn't for you. And if you're a picky eater with gluten restrictions and all that shit, Thanksgiving's not for you. These are just things that you have to accept in life.
Don't come and force your views on me. I'm celebrating my holiday. And at my holiday, we eat meat and we don't do vegan bullshit.
Speaking of certain holiday Thanksgiving dishes...
What's up, boys? What's your take on cranberry sauce? Personally, I think it's fucking disgusting. It's totally gross. I have to go on a limb and say it's the most overrated of all the Thanksgiving foods. So, I don't know. Give me a take on that one. Have a turkey day, bitches.
Cranberry sauce. This guy says it's completely overrated. Obviously, we're going to get into the discussion of real cranberry versus canned cranberry. Canned cranberry. It's hard to say. Big Cat. Actually, I'm gonna say, I think Big Cat is a canned cranberry guy. Fights, you're too bougie. Your family's all about the real shit.
I'm flipping that, because I think Dan just got himself pumped up for this, so I think he's going to have an unpopular stance. So no. I think Dan's going to say cranberry, the others. I'm all team canned, 100%. No. Ocean Spray canned, give it to me.
I was going to say that I don't care where the cranberry sauce comes from. I just need all of it. It's the best. It's the most underrated part of the Thanksgiving meal, to get that sweet and savory. Like, the way I do Thanksgiving meal is I do the regular portions of everything, and then I throw so much cranberry sauce on everything, and then on top of that, I throw gravy on everything. So it's just like nothing is like itself anymore. It's just a big mash, almost a soup of taste. That's the way I do Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I don't understand how anyone can think cranberry sauce is disgusting. I wouldn't classify it as underrated, though, because I feel like a lot of people really like it.
It's the problem is there are people out there with unrefined palates. Like, not to pick on Hank, but like he doesn't really know like what different, like you should have different tastes going on at the same time kind of feel. So those are the type of people that bash cranberry sauce. They just want their salt, and they want all their salt. You need to have some sweet with it. That makes the whole meal.
Yeah.
I'm team canned cranberry. I'll do like I cut a little sliver, but then I take like the huge portion. that the remainder is what I just cut down. But I will say it's weird because you never fuck with it any other time of year. Like
on us though.
Yeah, but I'm wondering, like in the middle of summer, would it feel the same, Big Cat? Like if you were just to have a turkey sandwich with some, you know.
I'll sometimes go, yeah, I think if you go to like a different, if you go to a deli and they have a turkey sandwich with cranberry in it, that you have to do that. I do agree this is part of the whole November, December, like this is how I eat. I just mash all the carbs together. I just, I'm eating bread, drinking beer, drinking whiskey. That's what this is all about. Like you just need all the flavor. Give me all the flavors for the next month and a half. I want all the flavors. Booze, food, all the flavors in my mouth all the time.
As far as the eternal debate of the homemade versus the canned, I actually don't even know, kind of like eggnog, I don't know if I've ever fucked with the homemade because I've always got the canned right there. If it ain't broke, I ain't going to fix it. Plus, I like that you can like cut a slice and you can kind of put it on your turkey and then like cut, you have it like a little, you know, rather than just like dip it in the sauce, it's like a topping on top of your meat.
I always get both, and then the fancy one is the only thing left on my plate. Every year I'm like, okay, this will be the year I start to like the fancy cranberry sauce, and we're still not there yet. Maybe this year.
All right, favorite dish, side, whatever. Feidelberg, go.
I gotta go like with the mixture of...
No. No.
But it's where it all comes, the cranberry sauce gravy stuffing, that little section right there.
Well, then we would call that stuffing because I think of gravy and cranberry as like toppings. The food that you want to mix in with it is the stuffing.
Okay. Well, then, I think this is a pretty easy answer. It's the worst part of Thanksgiving, the hands-down worst part is the turkey, and then the best part is the stuffing cranberry sauce.
Big Cat, agree, disagree? Your favorite?
My favorite, I do love the stuffing. I'd say like the offbeat favorites, if you ever have cornbread stuffing, that's awesome. And then whatever, I don't know if you guys do this, the fried onion, like, what is that dish with like green beans and onions? And,
oh yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, whatever that is, I can fuck with that.
I can fuck
scallion with potatoes. We have those too. I love scallion potatoes.
Yeah, see, now potatoes for me, pretty much any meal I ever sit down at, some sort of mashed potatoes is going to be my favorite thing. But I feel like I can't pick that on Thanksgiving because I eat it all year round. So, like, the stuffing is the one thing about Thanksgiving that separates that meal, I think, you know?
Hang on one second. Yeah. Hey, Hank. Hank. Oh. I'm like getting so hungry now, I was gonna order a Thanksgiving sandwich for lunch.
You good?
Yeah.
All right, sticking with the family talk, but switching gears a little bit, Barstool Family Feud.
Hey, KFC, first time, long time. My question is, if there was a family feud team made up of you, Big Cat, Fight, No Prez, and Hank, do you guys think you'd be able to win a full game of Family Feud? And if so, do you think you'd pass the Fast Money round? Now, I also want to know who do you think is going to be the strongest member of the group and who's going to be the weakest. You know, you might think Hank's going to be the weakest, but he kind of killed it in the spelling bee, so I don't know. I'm
confused about Barstool Family Feud, us three, Prez and Hank. Would we win? Who would go to Fast Money? Who would be good? Who would be bad? The caller throws out there that Hank would probably be the weakest link. I think I'm inclined to agree with that. Just because Hank's brain is weird and the whole idea of Family Feud is trying to relate to, like, the average brain. I think he's
far away from that. It's a tough one. I feel like Hank would be sneaky good.
Yeah, like, it's all or nothing for Handsome Hank. I feel like he'd be the best Family Feud guy ever, or he'd be the guy who's throwing out answers and we'd have to be like, a good answer, okay.
But you think, like, I mean, a majority of the population has
weird brains.
Well, weird brain and not good answers. I mean, there are so many times I watch Family Feud where I'm like, all right, common sense, this is the top response. And I'm rarely right.
That's true. And, John, I would also say that the problem with a team like ours, I feel like you need a woman. You need a woman to answer some of these questions. Like, you can't – what if they have, like, top five things you find underneath your sink? Well, I wouldn't even be able to name one thing. You know what I mean? So you need – it's like when you do bar trivia, you need a chick. You need, like, the nerd. You need a guy who likes sports. You need a person who watches all the shows. So we're too much – we all just have the same likes and interests that we would be kind of fucked in that respect.
We'd also, as evidenced by the rundown and shit like that, we'd all have the same answers, where I'd be like, fuck, you took mine. That was mine. And my brain is so one track that right. I couldn't think of another person with the name that starts with the letter B, because I was going to say Bob, and Big Cat said Bob, and now I'm done. I have nothing else in my brain.
Oh, yeah, in the lightning round, it would just be the buzzer the whole time, because we'd just be repeating each other's answers.
I honestly think, especially with the three of us, Fast Money, we would all give five... the same five in the same order every time.
Yep. Totally agree.
We'd be those guys who, like, the first person goes and gets, like, 187 points, and we can't even get to 200 because we're just like, well, those are our only five answers. We're done.
What's up, KFC? I was spending Thanksgiving with my girlfriend for the first time ever. Her family's basically a whole bunch of booze bags. I'm wondering how drunk that last to get. Like, what is the restriction on how drunk am I allowed to get? Because I really want to get tanked, but I know, like, the first time meeting them, so it's probably not that thing.
All right, so more family dynamic talk, and I guess this kind of relates back to our drinking talk. Guys with the girlfriend's family for the first time. First of all, that's a tough go. Meeting the family for the first time on Thanksgiving, that sucks. You're really just jumping into the deep end there. As far as how drunk you can get, I think my eternal rule for drinking in general is that you never want to be the most sober, you never want to be the drunkest.
Right.
You don't want to be an idiot, and you don't want to be like the guy sitting in the corner who everyone thinks is a loser and they can't trust them because they don't drink. So you got to just be that, like, perfect, middle of the road, fucked up.
This is the tricky part for this guy, and you have to use, like, your brain really quickly when you gauge the room. Because the problem with what you said, and I agree with your philosophy, you never want to be the drunkest guy. If you try to gauge off the drunkest guy and, like, take a step back, but if you get caught with the drunkest guy, you know, and everyone's like, oh, that degenerate's always drunk, and you're drinking, like, drink for drink with him, then you're kind of fucked. I would just, if I were him, I would just go off the dad. You know what I mean? Just drink whatever the dad's drinking and stay kind of with him. Because you know the dad's probably not going to get blacked out drunk. But if you, like, go with the brother or something, you're kind of, you're risking yourself. Because you could end up, you know, in a gutter and not realize it happened.
So just align yourself with the patriarch is what you're saying.
Right.
Find the guy who runs the show and stick by his side.
Because you also don't want to be the guy, you also don't want to be the guy who, like, when dad is like, hey, do you want a beer? And you're like, no.
Right. Yeah.
That's a bad look.
You, when dad offers you a beer, you got to say yes. When the dad offers you, like, a tenth beer, you should probably be saying no, I think.
I didn't really have an answer for this because I've never been in this situation, but I just want to give you two a round of applause. Those were both fantastic answers. Like, really insightful and just really well done.
This is the sad part, though, because I thank you for complimenting us on that, but at the same time, the only life wisdom I have is, like, how to not get too drunk at Thanksgiving. I can't tell you what stock to, you know, a tip for a stock. I can't tell you, you know, like serious life advice. Just like, hey, man, here's how not to black out at Thanksgiving.
Hey, that's a valuable life lesson in its own right, okay?
I'll tell you what, a lot of people who can tell you what stock to buy can't tell you how to do that, Dan.
Like, look at you'll see some cousin at Thanksgiving who's some hotshot trader who found the latest blue chip stock, and he'll be like puking in the bathroom at Thanksgiving because he's a social misfit. And Big Cat will just be that steady fucking full fat drunk, and he'll be having a great time, and everyone will like him instead of your cousin. So it's valuable in its own right, Dan.
True, that's fair. Okay, thanks for making me feel better.
No, we got more chicks. Chicks fucking love talking about banging dudes on this show.
Hey, KFC, it's Carolyn from San Francisco. I have a question for you guys. Have any of you ever seriously dated a girl that you slept with on the first or second date? I typically wait to sleep with a guy, whereas a lot of my friends do not, and they seem to have a lot more success in dating than I do, so I'm just curious. Thanks. Be there.
Chick wants to know the real deal on banging on the first date. My problem with this question, so I'm just going to kind of defer, is, like, I don't even get the first date. Unless you're, like, online dating now or you've really been, like, specifically set up by someone, the whole beginning of a relationship to me is, like, this blend of, like, hanging out at bars and then maybe, like, maybe you got some food together at some point. Is that a date? And then eventually you fucked. So where did that fall? I don't even know how to answer that, really. You know what I mean?
I totally agree, and we're going to have to ask John because it's the same for me. It's like it's this weird, like, oh, we see each other around. We got friends who are friends. Maybe watch a movie and fuck. Like, it's not
right.
It's not like the way they draw it up in the movies, and, like, and you walk down the cobblestone streets and you got your overcoat on and it's like, oh, I think I'm in love, but she's not going to give it up first night. Like, that's never happened. It's usually just blackout drunk, like, stumbling in a car. Yeah, I lost my phone in the cab. Whoops. So, go ahead, John. What do you think?
I'm thinking. I mean, I've been on dates where I didn't fuck on the first date, and I went on more. But, like, I've never – there was one summer – where I hooked up with this girl one night, first night, and then I guess, you know, in a way, you could say we dated for the rest of the summer, but, like, I wouldn't say that, but my friends would bust my balls and be like, ah, you have a girlfriend, and I'd be like, fuck that, no, I don't, kind of thing. But, right. Like, never, like, a serious relationship, no.
I mean,
I don't think I wouldn't, though.
Right, so, I mean, like, rather than breaking it down as, like, first or second date, I guess the what she wants to know is, like, a chick who gives it up too early versus waits. That's a tough spot for chicks, I will say, because it's a serious double standard where it's like, this bitch won't put out, like, she sucks. And then it's like the minute that we get an inkling that, like, you're a little too slutty, it probably is a turnoff. So basically you have to walk, like, an impossibly thin line, girls, and that's really just the truth of the matter.
See, in my head, though, if you fuck on the first date with me, in my head, You don't usually do that. I was just so goddamn charming that you didn't have a choice. Don't you worry about it. I'll convince myself it's all because of me. I can handle that situation.
Yeah, so basically...
She's never done this before.
Go ahead and fuck fights, and he'll take care of the mental shit going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, I'll work it all out, trust me.
Here's the thing with this girl, though. Unfortunately, this question was basically like, I fuck way too early, and I want to date some of these guys, but I'm clearly kind of a slut. So,
I feel like we kind of really attack every girl who calls in with a question.
I'm not attacking. I'm doing a little psychoanalysis, and I'm just getting to the truth of the matter here. That question was code for the last four guys that I've gone on dates with. I've sucked their dick the first night, and now they won't call me back. What should I do? And for her, I would say, yeah, maybe slow play it once. Hold out one time, just see how it goes. But, like Feidelberg said, I mean, that's, I don't know. Or just be better at having sex and they'll call you back.
Also, you gotta, as a chick, I think you gotta know the dude you're about to fuck. Like, someone like me, I never fucked enough random chicks that I had the ability to be like, all right, I fucked that girl, like, she's gone now. If I found someone who was willing to have sex with me, I was always going back to the well because I want to have sex again. Now,
I think you're stupid not to. You're stupid to just never call again. That's dumb.
Unless, yeah, that's dumb.
You always have it, at least, like, a possibility for a backslide or something like right. that. To just be like, ah, fuck it, delete that number. That's just, I mean, unless it's a fucking, like, horrifying situation you find yourself in. But if it's just a normal night, if you never call again, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Don't worry about it, girls. Just fuck dudes, and everything will be okay.
And if you're going to be one of those girls who are like, I'm not going to fuck on the first date, don't wait three. That's some cliche bullshit. Either do it in two or do it in four, but don't do it in three. That's like, that makes me think like you've been counting it down in your head and whatever. That's weird.
Like sitting there on the calendar, like Xing off.
Right, like, okay, there's one, here's two, now I'm not a slut anymore. Like, you fucking wanted to fuck me the first night, just do it. You know within the first 5 seconds if you want to fuck someone. Don't wait the three.
Dan?
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, don't hold yourself to fake rules. Do what you want to do, but just know that there are consequences if you show up to a date and you fuck the guy an hour later. Like, the guy's not going to think of you the same way as if you, you know, held out a little. That's just a fact.
I think that's the best way to put it. Like I said, I wouldn't, like, kick you to the curb and be like, all right, I'm never talking to you again. But there's a possibility that my perception of you changes a little bit.
And you're right. There's a very good possibility that you end up being the girl that gets texts at 2 a.m. being like, I want to come over.
You out?
Right, so that's where you just got put into that category, and you got to know that that's where you are.
Diabolical Sophie's Choice sort of would you rather hear that? I still don't know.
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's Dave from Connecticut. Butchered my last voicemail, so I figured I'd try it again. All right, would you rather wake up every morning and your TV channels are randomized, but you have no guide to see which channel is which, or would you rather that your laptop keyboard have the keys chained every single day to a different position? All right, be well.
I've been thinking about it since I screened these voicemails. I still don't really know. The only starting point I can come up with is I am still a bad typer. Like 20 years after the first time I touched a fucking computer, I still can't type well. I'm a bad speller to begin with. So my words in general are a goddamn shit show.
I'm an awesome typer.
I'm a pretty good typer myself.
Mavis Beacon. Remember Mavis Beacon?
What?
Computer game that taught you how to type when you were a little kid?
No. I don't remember the name.
I never took any of that stuff. I just like... I was born and I just knew how to type.
Yeah, like, you came out of your mother's pussy with, like, an iPad in your hands, Feidelberg.
It's like people, like, learn to, like, evolve to know how to breathe. I think kids born nowadays, they just know how to type. It's just a thing. Like, you don't have to come out and you're like, okay, I know how this works.
Yeah, no, Big Cat, did you have the, the cardboard thing that tucked under the keyboard and like blocked your vision of the keys.
Yeah. And yeah. Also, the reason why I learned how to type was IM.
Yeah, that's true.
That's really when it started, like when you had to keep up with the biddies in like sixth grade.
Right. But I mean, I'm still always misspelling shit and all that kind of jazz though. So like if the keys were mashed up, I don't know though. On TV, I only watch a handful of channels. So like, that first go round where you're trying to find them would suck. And every single day we had to do it again. That would really suck. But I'm constantly typing all day.
For us, dude. For us, you can't do the typing. Could you imagine trying to write a blog and not knowing where the keys are every single morning?
You have to do like the old man finger punching the whole time.
Especially on like a Monday morning when you woke up and your head's already in the clouds and you're like, fuck, that's right, I need to learn a new keyboard right now. But I will say this for the TV. I mean, staying in a hotel is absolute hell.
Yeah.
There's no guide. It takes 5 seconds for a channel to change.
Yep.
And you just sit there clicking. It's kind of like that. On regular TV, it's kind of like that. It's just you never do it because you guide.
Yeah. Turn off.
You never.
Hotel cable is like the first day cable was invented. It's the worst. I don't understand why they can't catch up like a little bit. Why don't they just have normal cable? Why do they have their own hotel cable?
Or the fact that every fucking turn off the TV and then turn it back on. It's like it goes back to that menu where it's trying to get you to order pay-per-view shit. It's like, dude, I fucking just turn it off for 2 seconds. Give me ESPN back. Like, that's the worst thing. That drives me nuts.
Well, I easily solve that. Once I'm in a hotel room, that TV doesn't ever go off again until I check
out. Turn it off.
I basically never turn it off. I'm not paying the electricity bill. So if I leave the room, that stays on. I paid my money. You can use that for however you see fit.
Let's do one more and we'll wrap it up because the rest of us all got more shows to do.
Hey, guys. Long-time stool here. I'm in from Boston. Calling about a girlfriend question, meeting some of her family for the first time on Thanksgiving. Never met her brother-in-law. Her brother-in-law and sister kind of lived far away. Last time they visited, our interaction was over the phone. He snatched the phone out of her hand while we were talking, said she'll call you back, and hung up on me. Now, the girlfriend wasn't happy about it either. She can't have her brother-in-law big-time her like that. But here I am 7 months later, Thanksgiving, about to meet him, and not sure what to do. I mean, the adult in me says, take the high road. She handled it. Don't say anything. But the stool in me says, it's a fuckboy move, and I got to fire back. Plus, she's a St. Louis Cardinals fan, so douchebaggery is not a one-time incident.
All right, so more family dynamic here. Long story short, this guy's brother-in-law, who he has yet to meet, kind of cuckolded him once on the phone, hung up on him. He's a Cardinals fan, so we'll start with you, Big Cat. That's a huge – that you can't just, like, sprinkle that in at the end. You should have mentioned that at the beginning because that does change everything. What does this guy do? Does he go to Thanksgiving and take the high road? Be an adult, or does he gotta like kind of establish some dominance back in the situation?
You have to take the high road. Well, okay. First of all, you gotta figure out what the age difference is because it's a different question depending on the age. If this is a younger brother, you don't really have to take the high road because more often than not, everyone's like, "Oh, he's a shithead anyway." Like you could walk in and honestly elbow the dad and be like, "How about your shithead of a son?" And the dad would probably be like, "Yeah, he's a total cocksucker." So if it's that, you can like play in the mud in that respect. If it's an older brother and it's like a strictly older brother protecting a younger sister move, you gotta just kind of play his game, and I think you just take the high road.
I say you take the high road, but I say that you bide your time and you find like one point to make a subtle jab. Nothing that's going to, like, embarrass him or start a fight or whatever. But if you find the opportunity where he fucking mousetraps himself or something where you can just kind of call him out and just kind of be like, all right, dude, like, it's going to be like that, okay? I'm respecting you and I'm respecting your boundaries, but you're not going to shit all over me. depending on the circumstances, like you said, age and all that shit, I think you can take one shot. But mostly, you gotta be you're the newcomer to their family. You gotta like respect the boundaries.
Did he say why the hangup happened? I missed that.
No, no information on that. So he was assuming, you know, his girlfriend was pissed about it too. So he's assuming she talked to the brother about it. She handled it. No further discussion about that.
I mean, if I ever go to someone else's house, I'm not looking to start something. We all know my relationship past. I've had quite a few issues with family members of my significant other, and that's just a play nice situation. You just go in there, keep your head down, have some turkey, have a beer, and you get out of there as fast as you can. You don't go in there fucking guns a-blazing, that's for sure. That's a recipe. I'll tell you what, you're outmanned and you're outgunned. There's a lot of other people there who are going to side with the other one. Because they all share blood with him.
I just have this vision of the way Feidelberg's life is going to play out. In the sense that, you know, Barstool's big everywhere now and shit, but like in Boston and New England, it's obviously everywhere you go. So like the day that Fights finds some young lady he wants to really settle down with, and it's like, I'm bringing Feidelberg home for Thanksgiving dinner, and like the dads and the brothers have listened to you say that you fucked a woman in New Orleans in the asshole. Like, you are just, it's just such an uphill battle for your boy Fights the rest of his life.
It really is. You're fucked. You're fucked.
What I'm going to do is I'm just going to wait out. Like, if I start dating a girl, I'm just going to just bide my time until her dad dies, and then I'll meet her family.
The other thing that you, the one thing that's in your, you could look at it the other way in this situation and say, if a girl is willing to meet, like take John Feidelberg to her family, she's probably got a pretty cool family.
Yeah, those guys are probably going to like high five you when you walk in.
Right.
It's if you ever
meet I don't know, dude. If you've heard some shit, yeah.
You just
coming in with your
no.
If I came into your, if we like met at a bar under different circumstances, that's one thing. But if you met me and you're like, oh, you're fucking dating my sister, that's a totally different thing.
No, but I think it's more than anything, you just can't find someone who like is trying to hide who you are. Like if your future girlfriend is like, oh yeah, he's a sports writer, and then everyone Googles you. And then it's just, that's what you can't have.
See, I've got that situation where, for some reason, everyone in my family, too, agrees to just pretend that's the case. They never
I have that, too.
Just ignorance is bliss, and that's why I can survive. I just don't know if Fights ever has that anonymity. I think everyone would know Fights. Just gotta wait for the father to die, dude.
I don't even get that grace in my family. You guys are lucky to even have that. I have like my aunts who like, I have like an aunt who like listens to this.
Oh jeez. That's awkward.
Yeah, your uncle, right?
But he's a cool dude. Like that's not a problem. It's really about the females in your family.
That was awesome.
I mean, she keeps listening, so she doesn't hate it, I guess. But I don't get the, what are the sports stories this week?
Right.
That was awesome when your uncle came up and was like, hey, I'm Uncle So-and-so.
Uncle Jack, right?
Yeah. That was awesome.
He's like our biggest fan. He listens to like every episode. It's unbelievable.
That was awesome.
Fights, for your sake, I hope you meet not for your sake, for our sake, I hope you meet like an art major who has like no interest in the stoolie world, or family like doesn't even know what the internet is, and you got to make your way through that family.
Why can't I meet, like, a rich supermodel whose family died?
Well, now, that's Feidelberg's dream girl. A hot chick with a dead family.
No family. No no one who cares. No one on this earth who cares about her.
You need an orphan.
That's it. That's the spirit. That's happy Thanksgiving and Merry Christmas.
No one watching her back. No one who cares for her well-being. Just... she has to fall into my arms. I'm the only thing there.
Who said?
Oh, hey, quick question on Thanksgiving. Friendsgiving. Have you done it?
I don't do it. Don't have a problem with it, though.
I do it.
I,
Because you can get.
I have a problem with it because I've never been invited to one.
Oh,
I think they'd be awesome.
John, it's hard to do Friendsgiving when you don't have any friends.
Yeah, I know. I think I've said on this show I have 3 to 6 friends.
The best was last year Friendsgiving. I don't remember. I think we always do it sometime in mid-December, and I think I was traveling for something for Barstool, and so the email went out, and everyone was like, "Oh, I'm bringing this, I'm bringing that." I knew I wasn't going, and I was like, "I'm gonna bring 2 turkeys," and just didn't say anything else, and like everyone thought I was going. And I just didn't go. They had backups, but they were like, fuck you, Dan. Like, what the hell? So I might be with you, Feidelberg. I might not get invited to Friends. Hey,
what I did last night? And it was maybe the saddest thing, one of the sadder things ever. Like a divorced dad kind of sad, where he has Christmas by himself with a hungry man in front of, like, a dimly lit room and just the Christmas tree lights. Yeah. I was by myself. Watching Ferguson coverage, eating Friendsgiving leftovers that my roommate brought home, and I wasn't invited to the Friendsgiving.
So, fight that you have to do, you have to organize the Friendsgiving.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not organizing a fucking Friendsgiving. I don't care that much.
That's the thing, is that it always sounds like a good idea to me, and then I'm like, wait a minute. I have to, like, make something or buy something and bring it, and we're going to...
Well, so on that note, and this is another piece of life advice that I can actually give, for any stoolies that are out of college now, you know, recently out of college, been out of college for a while, you have to find a friend in your group that's the organizer. If you just need one. You just need one. Everyone's got to have one. If you have an organizer, you will do fun shit.
Yep.
Like, the Friendsgiving will happen. Random bar crawls will happen. You'll play on sports. But if you don't, like, I'm not an organizer. I can't do that shit for the life of me. So if you just throw a bunch of me's into a group, we just sit around and do nothing. So you need to find the organizer.
Too many Indians, not enough chiefs, right? It's like the opposite. You need, like, we used to, I have 2 of them, and they would always organize our ski trip house and our summer house. And it got to the point where they just did it every year for us. And then, you know, now we're a few years older, and they just, like, didn't do it the past couple years because they were busy and shit, and everyone was like, whoa, what do we do now? Like, the social aspect of the whole crew just completely fell apart because 2 guys stopped.
You need.
I have been, our organizer is busy at the moment, so he has put the ski house for New Year's on me. And it's been 3 days now of me lying and saying I'm emailing people, and I haven't done anything. It's going to get to New Year's, and everyone's going to be like, all right, Fights, what's the address? And I'm like, oh, that's right. I've been lying and saying I'm emailing people.
I will say, I don't know your organizer, but I already know he's not that good of an organizer if he kicked it to you for the responsibility.
He kicked it to someone else first. And let me tell you, it was kind of my fault, actually. I kind of brought, because he kicked it to someone else first, and I, like an idiot, was like, well, he's not going to do it, I'll do it.
No. See, you don't have a real organizer then.
Yeah.
Because organizers stay organized like they have kids, and then they just die. But, like, my organizer, he's probably actually listening to this right now, he got we rented a house in Michigan for New Year's, and he got it in, like, July. I was actually pissed. I was like, I'm not gonna pay you this money right now. But that's you. That's the kind of organizer you need.
That's true.
You're a real organizer. That's your problem, John.
He is the real organizer. No. I don't want to smear his name on this. He has some other stuff he's doing.
No.
And
he was just duped by you then. So he had too much faith in you. So he's a good organizer and a bad judge of character, really.
That's it. Yeah.
So go find yourself some friends, go find yourself an organizer, and have a happy Thanksgiving, John. How about that?
I got a whole new cash.
All right. Enjoy Turkey Day. Enjoy – oh, fuck, DraftKings. Hang on.
Oh, Kevin. Shit. Kevin. Tell me about DraftKings.
Yeah, let me tell you guys something, because Thanksgiving, it's about turkey and family and football and stuff, but – This year, this season, it's also about winning money at America's favorite one-week fantasy football site. One-week fantasy football means no season-long commitments. You can play whenever you want at DraftKings.com. Got a player who's hurt? No problem. Injuries won't derail your shot at victory because it's like a new season every week. You're never stuck with the same players. Pick your team in minutes, and you could be on your way to winning huge cash. This season, one listener, he took, you're not going to believe this, he took $10, 10 bucks, and he turned it into $5,000. Another one took $2 and turned it into 10 grand. And a new millionaire has been crowned every week this season at DraftKings.com. You could be next. Imagine winning $1 million in one day just playing fantasy football at DraftKings. So head over to DraftKings.com now and use promo code KFC to play for free in the $10 million fantasy football world championships. DraftKings.com, bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter KFC now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. Keep calling the voicemail line. We're into holiday season at this point. So we're going to be doing Home Alone. We're going to be doing Christmas. We're going to be doing bowl games. We're going to be doing playoffs. We're going to be doing all sorts of shit. Plenty of stuff to talk about. So call 646-807-8665. Tweet us at KFC Radio. Boys, any last thoughts?
Happy Thanksgiving.
Dan stole my line.
See, this is why we'd be bad at Family Feud, right there. Can't even come up with something else other than Happy Thanksgiving.
Say at the end of KFC.
Gobble, gobble.
All right. Later.
Is this Barstool?
BarstoolSports.com. Is that right? BarstoolSports.com.
It's your boy KFC.
Become kind of a craze.
Your boy Big Cat.
Kind of a craze.
And your boy Feindelberg.
So go to BarstoolSports.com. If you do, God bless you.
You listen to KFC Radio.